Chapter 2.
Do you know it's nearly 9 o'clock?
I jumped from my bed.
What, Mrs. Poppets? 9 o'clock?
Yes,
she said, from outside my door.
Would you like breakfast, sir?
Yes, please, Mrs. Poppets.
I woke my two friends. Over breakfast, George read out boating accidents and the weather from the newspaper. The forecast was for rain. Cold and wet, with some dry spells and occasional thunderstorms. I never trust the weather forecast, and I never understand why anyone wants to know in advance. Despite the pessimistic forecast, it was a bright and sunny day. So Harris and I carried our luggage out of the front door and waited for our cab. George planned to join us when he finished work at the bank. We managed to get all our bags and Montmorency into the cab while pushing out a couple of new friends he had made. Our train to Kingston left Waterloo Station at 11:05 a.m. A porter helped us to get our luggage out of the cab at 11 a.m. And he said the train left from Platform 2. But at Platform 2, the guard said our train left from Platform 1, so we headed there. No one at Platform 1 knew about the train to Kingston, so we went to the next platform and asked the train driver where he was going.
"I'm not sure," he replied.
"Here's 2 shillings," said Harris. "Will you take us to Kingston, please?" We were extremely frustrated.
"Oh, I don't think I can do that, sir," said the driver. "No one will know," I said. "And we really need to get there for our boat."
"Very well," said the driver, and he put the 2 shillings in his pocket. Our boat was waiting for us, just by the bridge at Kingston, and we quickly got all our luggage on board. I took the rudder, and Harris took the oars, while Montmorency hid suspiciously under our bags. Harris looked the perfect oarsman in his red and orange jacket, and I relaxed and enjoyed the beautiful back streets of Kingston. There were spacious, historic houses on both sides of the river. I had once visited a friend in one of them, and he had proudly showed me his original oak staircase. He then showed me into another room which had blue, flowery wallpaper. He banged the wall and said, "Oak!"
"You mean you've covered the oak with wallpaper?"
I was shocked.
"Yes, and very expensive it was too," said my friend.
It's very interesting that a person who has something often doesn't want it, while another person who wants it will pay a lot of money to get it. In this case, oak walls. But it is also true of life in general. Men with wives don't want them, while single men want to get married. At this point in my daydream, Harris threw down his oars, left his seat, and lay down on his back. Montmorency jumped up and barked.
"What's the matter?" I asked. "You," shouted Harris, "you're steering. Have you forgotten? We should be going straight.
It's your turn to row now." Harris turned his back on me, and I thought it was best if
I took my turn to row as we went past Hampton Court. It was peaceful and quiet, and I often thought I would like to live there. But then I remembered that, although it is attractive when there are people there on a sunny day, humans are sociable creatures, and on a cold winter's morning, it would be a different story.
"Have you ever seen the maze at Hampton Court?" Harris asked.
He had cheered up because he was no longer rowing.
"No. Have you?"
"Yes.
I took some people in there once," replied Harris. "I thought it would be easy to find our way out. But it took hours and hours. We tried going back to the beginning, but we were lost, and we couldn't find the beginning or the end. Eventually, the keeper climbed a ladder and tried to give us directions, but we were still lost, so he came in to help us. The problem was that he was a new keeper, so he got lost as well, and we had to wait for the old keeper to come back from lunch before we could get out."
"Hmm," I said.
The first lock on the Thames after Kingston is Molesey. It was crowded and colourful, and seeing the fashions made me think about our own clothes. The river is an opportunity for men to wear bright colours for a change. I always like to wear a little red. My hair is golden brown, rather a pretty colour, and dark red with a blue tie goes very well. Harris likes to wear orange and yellow, but I think this is a mistake, as his skin has a yellow tone. I always tell him to wear blue and cream, but he doesn't listen to me. George had bought a rather loud, flowery jacket for the trip. Harris told him it would frighten the birds, but George wanted to wear it anyway. At Hampton Church, Harris wanted to get out to see Mrs. Thomas's tomb.
"Who's Mrs. Thomas?" I asked.
"I don't know," replied Harris, "but she has a funny tomb, and I want to see it." It's very interesting that people like to look at graves and tombs in churchyards. Maybe there's something wrong with me. To me, they're dark and depressing, and that's all. I explained this to Harris. "But one of the reasons I agreed to come on this trip," he said, "was to see Mrs. Thomas's tomb." "But we have to meet George at 5, I said.
"Why can't George wait?" Harris wanted to know.
"I've done all the work while George has been wasting his time, and now I want to do a little sightseeing." When Harris was like this, it was better to leave him alone, so I said nothing. Later, we had lunch, sitting on a bank in Kempton Park, and a man came by and asked us,
"Do you know this is private land?"
"Well, we haven't really thought about it, but if you say so, then we believe you," we said.
"You have to leave," said the man.
"Would you like some bread and jam?" asked Harris.
"I'm going to speak to my boss," said the man, "and then I'll be back to remove you."
"Fine," we said. But we didn't see the man again. Of course, he only wanted us to give him money.
"Men like that should be in prison," said Harris.
I agreed that it was irritating, but I was surprised at the strength of Harris's response.
Actually, I would kill them all, said Harris.
He was furious. I decided to leave him alone again. We got to Sunbury Lock at 3:30 and then went on to Walton. There were some interesting tombs, but I managed to get Harris past them. Shepperton is a pretty spot, and I had to steer Harris round the tombstones in the graveyard there, too. At Weybridge, the River Wey, the River Bourne, and the Basingstoke Canal all enter the Thames together. The lock is just opposite the town, and the first thing we saw when we arrived there was George's flowery jacket. When we looked more closely, we saw that George was inside it.